Welcome back to 1 Peter, everyone. Today's with you again for chapter 3, and we left off with instructions on living right in a world gone wrong, and doing good even when the system is bad. Now, Peter tells us how to carry that same attitude into marriage. Let's dive in at verse 1. Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands. Now, hold on. Did that just say wives submit? Sounds a little outdated. Is Peter a misogynist? Be careful. Don't judge the Bible on one verse, but also don't skip a verse because you don't like it. Take time to understand the whole verse and the whole Bible. As for the Bible, the equality of men and women in God's sight is declared from the very beginning. In Genesis 1, in the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. That means that men and women are made in God's image. In Galatians, we're told that Jesus restores an equality for all people. Nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Those are powerful declarations of equality. And right here in this very chapter, Peter will tell us that husband and wife are equal heirs in God's kingdom. So what's the deal with this wife submit stuff? Read carefully and read context. Listen, there are Christian men who refuse to read past verse 1. Men, he's not even talking to you yet. This is addressed to wives. There's no call in the Bible for husbands to force their wives to submit. That's called subjugation, and it has no place in a Christian home. Chauvinism and misogyny are antithetical to the gospel of freedom. Peter just said, live as free people. And men, you blaspheme the name of Jesus every time you disrespect your wife or dishonor her freedom. Now, Ephesians 5 gives more thorough instruction for marriage, and we deep dive into that in our marriage talk series. There we explain the biblical submission is a noble act of volition taken between equals, a free choice to honor the other partner. Both husband and wife are called to submit and sacrifice, but in different ways. We dive deeper in Ephesians 5, but the context here is doing good even in bad situations. That means being a good wife even in a bad marriage. Back in verse 1. So that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. So Peter calls a Christian wife to win her unbelieving husband by her life, not her words. However, Peter never says, and the Bible never says, that a wife should stay in a violent or abusive marriage. If you are in danger, get safe. Now in verse 3, your beauty should not come from outward adornment. Now Peter never says you can't dress well, but the source of your beauty is not outward. Verse 4, rather it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Inner beauty doesn't fade, and it's of great worth to God. The key here is aligning what you value with what God values, because that beauty lasts. And Peter turns our attention to the holy and heroic women in the Bible. And there are all kinds. Warriors like Deborah, valiant heroines like Esther, mission leaders like Phoebe and Junia. But along with female empowerment, we should never forget to honor and value the role of a faithful wife and mother like Sarah. In verse 6, you are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Men, now it's your turn. Verse 7, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect. Husband, you cannot run off to work and leave the marriage care to your wife. In the same way also means that you might be a Christian married to a non-believer, and you are called to do right and be a good husband even in a bad situation. It works both ways. Now, Peter has two things you must do for her and two things to recognize that she is. Number one, be considerate, thinking about her. Consider her perspective, her feelings, her insight and ideas. God made her different for a reason. Value that and learn from it. Like God told Abraham, listen to your wife. Number two, treat her with respect, period. The word here means honor. It means to treat someone in accordance with the value that God has given them. Even in the Old Testament, Proverb 31 calls a husband to honor and empower his wife to make decisions and investments because she is worthy. So pay no attention to misogynists who cherry-pick verses out of context to devalue women. Now read carefully. Treat them with respect as the weaker partner. Now don't get it twisted. Peter says weaker, not lesser. He acknowledges a physical reality and an anatomical design that God gave us. Men, you have a gift of testosterone that makes it easier for you to build muscle. Husband, chances are you're physically stronger. Every couple is different, and God bless a strong wife. But Peter acknowledges the physical weakness and tells you, husband, respect that weakness. Value it. Notice she is the weaker partner. You're a team, and God gave your team balance. Respect and value what she brings. You need it. You may have more muscle, but odds are she has more maturity and emotional intelligence than you. Respect that. Respect her. And read carefully again. Men, respect your wives as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. You and your wife are co-heirs. You inherit God's kingdom together. The Greek word there indicates an equal status in God's sight. Your status in God's kingdom is not based on strength or power. It is based on God's calling and election. Galatians tells us that in Christ, there is neither male nor female, but we are one in him. Husbands, honor the value that God has placed on your wife. Jesus declares that she is worth laying down his life for, and you are called to do the same. Now, that's a radical statement today, but just think about it then. Peter just declared women as equals to people in the Roman Empire, because this is God's kingdom. And husband, read carefully. If you disrespect the value that God gave your wife, he won't respect your prayers. That should scare you. Then Peter turns to everyone in verse 8. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. Forget about your situation and focus on your calling, to overcome evil with good, to seek peace and pursue it. Do right, and God hears your prayers. Do evil, and the Lord will set his face against you. But the key to all of this is verse 15. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. That's how you do it. It all starts in your heart. Your heart drives your will and directs your life. And the key to directing your heart is to decide who rules your heart. Who is Lord? Peter says, revere Christ as Lord. That means respect his rule. The Greek word also means sanctify or set apart. Take that place in your heart marked for the Lord and ruler and sanctify it. Clear out all the idols, set only one on the throne, the only one worthy of it, Jesus Christ. With Jesus on the throne, what can man do to you? Unjust authority, unrighteous boss, or unbelieving spouse. You serve Christ above all others, and it is for his sake that you do right and act with respect. When you do, people will wonder, and they'll ask, what's your deal? So in verse 15, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for hope that you have. When someone returns evil with good, it strikes you. That person has something. They have hope. They see beyond this world and live for the next. And people want that. So have an answer ready. Now, apologetics answer about science and eschatology have their place. But the answer that people really want are the ones that give hope. The kind of hope that endures. Back in verse 15. But do this with gentleness and respect. Watch that, especially you apologetics enthusiasts. Answering questions as evidence for faith is commendable, but arrogance and disrespect have no place in a Christian's vocabulary. Same goes for answers of hope. How you answer is just as important as what you answer. Gentleness and respect are key. Act and speak in such a way that anyone who does speak against you will be ashamed. Verse 17 says, suffer for doing good, not evil, and fix your eyes on Jesus. Jesus suffered for you, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. read 1 Peter 3, and I'll meet you back here for chapter 4.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.